Welcome to my Father's House podcast, episode 290, Unfailing Love Series, part 5, His Love Endures Forever. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, December 4th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay, we've been talking about, what have we been talking about? Love. We've been talking about the various aspects of God's unfailing, amazing, unconditional love. His love never changes, and it never fails. Amen?
Amen.
Are you out there?
Yeah.
His love never changes, and his love never fails.
Amen.
Amen. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can be sure that his love accompanies you. His love is just as available. Think about this. His love is just as available to you on your worst day when you miss it and you mess up and feel unworthy as it is when you are feeling good and on top of your game. His love is always available to you. His love endures forever, like Psalm 136 says, right? The beginning, the whole psalm says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. So is that only when you're on the mountaintop and when you're doing great, his love endures forever? No, it's when you're going through persecution, like Carissa talked about, when you're going through trials and tribulations, when you have questions and there's circumstances around you that you know, don't seem fair. There's injustices around you, things that you don't understand. His love endures when you don't see breakthrough and you're confused about where God is in the situation. If you're feeling that way and you can identify with some of those things, get out Psalm 136 and have that be your anthem. His love endures forever. That covers every day, every up and down, every trial, every circumstance. His love endures forever. So today we're going to explore a little bit the role of God's love when the circumstances are far less than perfect. When we're going through persecution, when we see injustice and things just don't seem fair. We all go through situations that are difficult, right?
Yes.
Or am I the only one? Not here in Fort Wayne, Indiana? Okay. But so being rooted and grounded in God's love is going to see us through those trials, those persecutions, those injustices, those questions, big question marks that we hold in our heart, like why are good or why are bad things happening to good people? Those kinds of questions, right?
Yes.
So we're going to ask our brother Habakkuk, I've practiced how to say his name, so I'm sure I'll say it many times throughout this message, but we're going to ask our brother Habakkuk, the prophet, to share with us today a little bit about his story and shed some light on this subject, because he went through it. I don't know if anyone, has anyone studied the book of Habakkuk? Okay, a little bit. All right. So the book of Habakkuk is for those wrestling with these questions, like why are bad things happening in the world? And why do bad things happen to good people? The name Habakkuk in Hebrew means to embrace or to wrestle. He who embraces or like clings. He comes to a firm faith, Habakkuk, through wrestling with tough questions. And I don't think we're not going to get through all of Habakkuk today, so we'll continue this next week. So I'm going to try, this isn't supposed to be a downer message. This is supposed to be an equipping message for when we are facing difficult things. We need some tools in our tool belt to walk us through to see, you know, to the other side, right? Because, you know, how do you say this? Like, we do a disservice if we pretend that when we become Christians, everything is rose-colored and, you know, rainbows and sunshine all the time. It It's not. It's not. And the more you advance with God, the more you say yes to God, the more you shut out the world and say yes, and you advance and obey his will for your life and what he's calling you to do. I'm sorry to say, but the target on your back becomes bigger. But the blood of Jesus, like we just sang and worshiped about, the blood of Jesus covers us. So it's not to get us in fear. It's not to make us cower. You walk forward because the blood of Jesus covers you even with that target on your back, right? So let's jump in here to Habakkuk. The book begins with a dialogue. We get right into it. You kind of like, it's almost like you start and like you're walking in on something. Like Habakkuk is a little upset here. He's got some questions and he's questioning God. He's giving, in some Bibles translations, it says the complaints. So it says like the first complaint, second complaint, you know, and so on. So he's crying out in lament to God about circumstances, about what he's seeing and the injustices that he's seeing. So let's look at Habakkuk 1:1-4, just to start. He says, "How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere, I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted." Wow. Can anyone relate to any of that? So Habakkuk is upset here, right? He's wondering why God is not listening to him. Have you ever felt like that? Like, are you listening? Are you out there, God? Like, why are you not intervening? Why are you not doing something? All around me is violence and destruction. And all I see is people fighting and you know, in contention and strife. Like, what's up? Right? This is kind of a grim picture. He says, justice never prevails. The wicked are numerous and they seem to go unpunished, while the righteous or the good people suffer. Like, it's not fair, God. What's happening? Can anyone relate? I can relate to Habakkuk and his laments, right? It sort of sounds a lot like the world we live in today. So we're gonna extract some nuggets of truth, things that we can learn from our brother prophet Habakkuk. And the first one is that it's okay to bring our questions and our complaints, so to speak, our questions, I like to call it, to God. He wants us to. Because if we hold them in our hearts and we stuff them down, how is that healthy, first of all, for ourselves? For our emotional and mental spiritual health. And, you know, we're in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so if I'm in a relationship with somebody like my husband and I'm upset with him, but I never express it and I pretend like everything's, I become very like passive aggressive, and that's not healthy in a relationship. Can I get an amen? Right? So if I'm like, you know, like God, you know, starting to have these questions, he wants me to bring it to him. He wants me to empty my heart to him. He wants this back and forth relationship. So it's okay to have questions. It's okay to not understand what's happening around us, right? Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." We don't have to pretend that we have it all together with the Holy Spirit. He is the one, true one, the Spirit of truth, who we can be real with and say, you know, I'm kind of struggling here, Lord. I don't really understand why I see, you know, destruction and death and injustices around me. Be real with your Father. Be real with him in the secret place. It's okay. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Because what's the next part? Then we will receive his mercy. Do you want to receive his mercy? If you just stuff it down and say, oh, everything's good, I'm perfect, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. But inside, you're really suffering, you're dying inside, you're not going to experience his grace, his mercy, his truth, right? We need to humble ourselves and say, I've got some questions here. I don't quite get this. You know, it's okay. So, okay, God answers Habakkuk then in starting with verses 5 through 11. We're in Habakkuk 1, 5 through 11. It says, the Lord replied, look around at the nations. Look and be amazed, for I am doing something in your own day. Oh, good. He says he's doing something. Praise the Lord. Something you wouldn't believe even if someone told you about it. I am raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. Wait, what? They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like. Their horses are swifter than cheetahs and fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their charioteers charge from far away. Like eagles, they swoop down to devour their prey. On they come, all bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind, sweeping captives ahead of them like sand. Are you doing okay? I know this is this is brutal. They scoff at kings and princes and scorn all their fortresses. They simply pile ramps of earth against their walls and capture them. They sweep past like the wind and are gone. But they are deeply guilty, for their own strength is their God. Well, not really the answer that Habakkuk is looking for, and probably us, right? God is using this wicked Babylonian people to punish the righteous people of Judah? Wait, what? Would you be satisfied with that answer? God, you got to give me something else here. What? What? Habakkuk surely wasn't satisfied with that answer. It would be like us crying out to God, right, about the state of the church in America and hearing God say, I'll fix the problem by sending a communist invasion of America. Wait, what? We would say, now, wait a minute, Lord, never mind, never mind. The problem is bad, but your cure is worse than the disease. Like, that's not going to help us, you know? And this is kind of what's happening here. Like, he's complaining to the Lord about all this injustice. So the Lord says, I am doing this thing in the nations. You're going to be amazed. Yeah, you're going to be amazed, like, how crazy wicked this is. But this is part of God's plan. Like, he's in control of this, and he's doing this and using that for his purpose. Makes you go, right? Remember, being a follower of the Lord isn't always rainbows. You know, we have some questions, but let's look at what happens after that. So then in verses 12, pick up at verse 12 through 17, we see Habakkuk's, his response. It's his second complaint to the Lord. So let's look at how he responds to God's answer there. He says, oh Lord, my God, my Holy One, you who are eternal, surely you do not plan to wipe us out. Oh Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Are we only fish to be caught and killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Must we be strung up on their hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. These nets are the gods who have made us rich, they will claim. Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquests? This is how he responds. When I read this and studied this, it's like I imagine, you know, Habakkuk, he's like how he starts here, how he addresses God. Oh, Lord, my God, my Holy One. That's his character that he understands. He understands that God is the Holy One, you who are eternal. And then the second part of that verse, it says, "Oh Lord, our rock." Like, this is your character, but it's clashing with what I see you doing and what your answer to me was. I know you to be good. I know you to be holy. I know you to be the eternal God, but you mean to wipe us out? Like, surely you don't plan to just wipe us off the face of the earth, right? It's as if he's saying, oh my God, like, I understand you to be good, but what's going on here? What are you doing? So then, like, aren't you for us, God? I thought you're for me, but I'm seeing all this, and I need a better answer, right? It's sort of like that. So verse 17, like, will you let them get away with this forever? Is there an end to this madness, to this injustice? How long are you going to let this go on, God? Has anyone felt like that? Maybe at family situations? How long is this going to go? Right? Because it's hard to sit back and watch destruction. Right? It's hard to sit back and watch destruction. So, based on God's answer, like, okay, so let's process through this. He intended to use the evil and self-serving people, the Babylonians, to accomplish his justice. God can use unrighteous people to correct human abuses. Wow, that boggles our mind, right? Habakkuk was confused how God could do this, but he knows that God is the Lord of the universe. He doesn't need my permission. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, right? And so if he's doing something to accomplish his purpose, I may not always understand that. And that's got to be okay, because he's God and I'm not. And praise God that I'm not, because I don't have all those problems to worry about, right? I just have to trust. But notice Habakkuk asks questions, but he doesn't pass judgment on God. He's not like closing himself off to God or like raising his fist, like, you know, cursing God or anything. So Habakkuk must have, you know, enough trust, enough faith to wait for God to explain and give him some more answers and to complete his purpose. Right? So sometimes we got to hang on. We got to hang on because God's not done, right? He is on the throne. We must trust that. God is on the throne, even amid the confusion of human history and what we see in the world today, right? Like, just look at the political situation. God's doing something. He's doing something. He's allowed what's happened in our political system. You know, I'm not going to get into politics, but you can apply these principles, what I'm saying, to what we see today, right? Amen. Okay, this brings us to nugget number two. We will not always understand what negative things, or why, really it's the why, negative things are happening around us or happening to us. We live in a fallen world. We know that, right? We live in a world in which God allows human evil sometimes to win in order to accomplish his ultimate purposes. And that might make us confused. That might make us scratch our heads. But like I said, he is on the throne and he is God. Living under the momentary, you know, triumph of evil, we can raise serious questions and wait for God to answer and trust that he will answer us. Sometimes we have to endure his silence before we receive an answer. And that's another nugget, and we'll get to that. Pastor Bill Johnson of Bethel Church says, in order to get the peace that passes all understanding, sometimes you have to give up the right to understand. In order to get the peace that passes all understanding, we all want that, right? Sometimes we have to give up the right to understand because we just our human brains can't wrap around what God is trying to do in his purposes. And sometimes the situation maybe looks more ugly or worse before it gets better. Hang on, because God is God and he's on the throne, right? In other words to that quote, in order to experience peace, you need to rest and you need to trust, even when things don't make sense. I'm going to say that again. So me, myself, Pastor Sarah can hear that again. When things don't make sense, in order to experience peace, you need to rest and trust God, even when things don't make sense. Amen? Amen? Okay, let's keep going. So that took us to the end of chapter 1. We're now in chapter, we're just going to do, I think, just even one verse of chapter 2. So we start, and Habakkuk is actively resting and trusting God. And he starts to seek God for an answer. So this is what Habakkuk 2:1 says. He says, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Oh man, I camped out on this verse for a long time. There's so much in here that the Lord spoke to me about. So this is nugget number 3. Habakkuk positioned himself. He climbed up to the watchtower, right? And he stood at the guard post. That means he positioned himself to hear from God. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand. He had questions. It's so important when you're in that state and have those kind of questions in your heart. Position yourself to hear from God. When's the last time when you were facing persecution or trials or circumstances that you didn't understand that you positioned yourself to hear from the Lord about it? Really, that should be a daily thing, but we need to do this. We need to position ourselves. Climb up to your watchtower, get on your guard post, and say, God, I need to hear from you. I'm going to wait on you and pray. Pray in the Spirit, and you pray and wait on God to hear an answer, right? There can be so much happening around us sometimes. We see injustices, conflicts, questions in our hearts about why such a thing is happening to me or around me. But instead of seeking God, we react in an emotional, in a carnal way, and we harden our hearts to God sometimes. Because it's not my way, it's not happening my way, not how I wanted it, not how I expected it. Whoa, forgive us, Lord, for our 2-year-old-like tantrums. That's what that is. And we say, God, it's your fault, you know, and we harden our hearts and we, you know, raise our fist against him. Check yourself. Check yourself before you wreck yourself, somebody said once, you know, right? So we have a choice. We have a choice, just like Habakkuk did, to position ourselves and not harden our hearts against God. It's a response that chooses to walk by the Spirit. Remember that series we did? Walking by the Spirit versus walking by the flesh. When we respond this way, we stay humble. We stay teachable, open to receive the Lord's perspective and truth on the matter. Because he's the Lord and I'm not. He's got answers and I need answers. So I better humble myself and position myself to hear from him, right? So get up on your watchtower, stand at your guard post like Habakkuk to listen and wait for God to speak to you and give you direction or bring revelation. Any of the above would be great, God. Any of those, just something, God, throw me a bone, you know, something, right? So the NIV of this Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 says it this way. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. What is a rampart? I said when I read that. And so then I began to study about ramparts. The rampart is a low outer wall, fortification, which means like strength, right? It was used for surrounding protection of a, you know, castle, palace, you know, something, fortress, right? The rampart is that low outer wall. It provided protection. That reminds me, in certain versions, of Psalm 91. When I hear the word ramparts, does your mind go to Psalm 91, verse 4, talking about the protection of God over us, that says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. How many times we recite Psalm 91 and we just don't really know what a rampart is? Okay, I hope it's good, God. You're my shield and my rampart. I don't know what that is, but it's his faithfulness, right? This is saying, Psalm 91:4 is saying his faithfulness, his love will be your shield and your outer wall of strength and protection around you. Hallelujah, right? Who wants some of that? Strength and protection, right? The NLT says his faithful promises are your armor and protection. I liked how that said it. Yeah, and others say buckler, right? Your armor and your protection. Yeah, I'm suited up. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. So when you position yourself, back to that, position Habakkuk 2:1, when you position yourself to hear from God, strength and protection come. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Okay, I want to share just a little testimony. How are we doing on time? Just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a Christmas miracle right there. Okay, so I'm gonna share. My family has a joke about it's a Christmas miracle. And I look for Christmas miracles in that season because God is good and he's doing things all the time. And he's helping me stay on target and time. So I just wanted to share a little personal story about a time when I had to position myself. I don't know, some years ago, probably in the beginning of our marriage, Santos and I had a significant disagreement about something. And I'm not talking about the disagreements when we moved in together and which kitchen table are we going to keep or which desk were we going to keep. And those were sort of significant discussions in our household as well. But this was like a weightier decision about, you know, more significant matters. And we disagreed about that. And the Holy Spirit actually... what he said to me, I realized he was telling me, in other words, to position myself, or for us to position ourselves. So, you know, we disagreed, and for a time it was just like every time we brought that topic up, it kind of like we're butting heads about it, right? Because we disagreed and neither of us was really moving. And so the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to be in unity or you're not going anywhere. You know, you're united in one, but one's trying to go this way and one's trying to go this way. So get in agreement. So you need to like pray together and basically position yourselves to hear from me. Because God understands that we're married, right? This is free marriage advice also. Here we go. So to those of you that are married, you got to be in unity about things, right? And God knows, like we each felt like God had given us that stance. But wait, how can that happen? Because God knows that we're married, so he's not going to tell Santos A and tell me B. Something's not quite right. Somebody's not quite right hearing from the Lord, or together we're a little bit off and it just makes us off and in disunity. And we can't have that, right? And so the Lord was saying to me, position yourselves. So I went to him and I said, you know, I brought this to Santos and I said, you know, this is what the Lord is saying. We need to like hear from God. So are you willing to just pray together that we both, let go of our own logic and how like our own stance of our opinion of what we each think? You think A, I think B. Are you willing to just pray and release that, renounce that, give that over to God and let him just speak to us, and whoever needs to be corrected will be corrected, or both of us will be corrected, or you know, whatever. And so we did that, and guess what? Any guesses who was the one who had to be corrected? Maybe I've told this story before. yours truly. And so, but I saw the value of, like, praise the Lord, God spoke. He spoke when we positioned ourselves. We were both willing to say, I might not be right here. And God, your way is better, because we understood that we needed to be in unity, or we're just stuck. We're not going anywhere, right? We've got a goal. We want to get to the goal. You're pulling this way. I'm pulling this way. We're not going anywhere. So that's just that case, that scenario. But positioning yourself can be for a lots of multitude of different situations. The thing is, just let go of what you think, of your logic, of how things seem around you, and just say, God, I need to hear from you. And, you know, you can bump it up with doing prayer and fasting together. And, you know, and press in, seek the heart of God. So I hope this wasn't a downer message. Habakkuk is a little bit, it's a little bit heavy, some of the things. And we'll cover the rest of it next week. But I wanted to end with some encouraging words. Remember, Romans 8 has some real encouragement for us. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So if you're in the middle of situations of things that you don't understand, conflicts and questions that you have about what you're seeing around you, know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. Do you love him? Then he's working it for your good, right? Trust in that. You've been called according to his purpose, and he's working it out for you. He's a way maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. He's working even when you don't see him or see it. He's working even when you don't feel it. Amen? Amen. Another encouragement from Romans 8, love that chapter, 35 through 39. It says, who shall separate us from the love of God? We're talking about the love of God, right? The love of Christ holding us fast. Right? Like being our shield and our rampart in times of difficulty. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So I hope if you're a note taker, you wrote some of these down. And those of you that are not note takers, but you're going through something, go find a note taker friend and say, what were those verses? Because I need to repeat those over myself. I need to read those. I need to declare those, because this will help you. So just a little review then. We learned from Habakkuk, right, that when we face injustice, when things don't seem right, when they don't seem fair, the wicked around us are getting away with murder, right? And the good guys are suffering. Bring your questions. Number one, bring your questions, your complaints to God. Come boldly to the throne of grace. That was nugget one. Nugget two, we will not always understand why negative things happen to us and around us. And we got to make peace with that. Number three, position yourself to hear from God. Climb up on the watchtower. Sit at the guard post. Position yourself to hear from God. And then Psalm 136, 1 through 3. If it gets up there, we can, or not. I'll just repeat it. It's okay. I'll repeat it. I'm going to read it once, and then we'll do some declarations with this. So Psalm 136, 1 through 3. So it just says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. So let's recite this, or not recite, but we're going to declare this over whatever situation you're going through. Declare this over your family. Declare this over your life. Declare this, that no matter what you're living or what you're seeing around you, that his faithful love endures forever. Could we stand up to do that? It's up there. Yes. Praise the Lord. So we'll just do one phrase at a time, and it's up there for those visual people. So are we ready? One, two, three. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A good time to praise him and worship him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, that your faithful love endures forever. Your love never stops. Your love never ceases. Your love never fails. Your love always supports, Father God. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Thank you for your amazing love, Father God. I pray that kind of agape love, that overreaching, unconditional love over every brother and sister and everyone under the sound of my voice, Father. For those that are going through trials and tests and tribulations and challenges and situations that seem unfair, your faithful love endures ever. We declare that together as a body, that your faithful love endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that it'll be your love that will see us through. It's your love, your faithfulness, that is our shield and our rampart. You protect us. We are covered in the precious blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that no weapon formed against us and against our families, against our church family, shall prosper. Our righteousness is of you, Lord Jesus, and every tongue that rises against us will be condemned in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. You are good. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us, Father, to come to you, to be real with you, that we don't have to have it all perfect and all together. When we have questions in our hearts, that we can come boldly to your throne of grace. Help us, Lord, that in our secret place, our time with you, we can be authentic and genuine and real with you. Thank you, Father, that we can position ourselves to hear from you. Thank you, Lord, that you will speak. Your word says that those who seek wisdom and ask for wisdom will be given it generously. So I thank you, Father, that we position ourselves to hear from you, and we will hear from you. Thank you, Father, that you're an ever-present God in times of trouble. And I ask, Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that you help us to let go, Father, when there's things that we don't understand, that in order to have the peace that passes all understanding, we give up the right to understand, that we may not understand at all. But you're God, and you're on the throne, and we praise you, we love you, we worship you, we crown you as Lord of our lives. You are on the throne. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I ask your blessings on each one in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.